You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey guys, we're back today with another podcast episode, and today we are going to be talking about worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow. So the last podcast that we did was over the gospel according to Jesus. If you haven't had a chance yet to listen to that one, then we would ask you to go back and listen to it first. And we did want to make one clarification. We ran out of time. 30 minutes just really gets away from us very quickly. But we wanted to say that the entire gospel message, that the majority of presentations, I guess you would say, when people give the gospel, that's left out is the fact that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And if you listen to our podcast regularly, then you know that we believe that we are in the end days. So the most important thing that we need to be sure and mention when we give the gospel is that piece, that he is coming back and that we need to be ready for that. So we have a lot of other messages that we've given that give practical ways that we can be ready spiritually, physically, and all of that. So feel free to look back through some of our earlier recordings and you can get more information on how to be prepared. And as we move on in the future, we'll definitely be covering many more topics along those lines. Also, having said that, we had considered doing a message over sanctification since we did that one over salvation. But then we realized we have already done many episodes where we discuss walking in the Spirit, living godly in an ungodly world, discernment, fruits of the Spirit. I'm trying to think. We have so many different ones, and you can go back and listen to those. So I don't think we're going to do another one just solely over sanctification. You'll hear us talk about that a lot because that is the point that we're in right now in our walk until we see Jesus face to face and we have the glorification process. So I do think that may be one that we discuss is glorification, our heavenly bodies, and things like that. So that'll be an exciting one to go, to come back and listen to. But anyways, this message is going to be over worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow, and that's a really good follow-up to our previous message. We're going to go ahead and get into that. So I know Will has some scriptures to share.
Hey guys, yeah, just on worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow. This is something that's very, very important that as a Christian we should understand, because before we were saved, we had what we call worldly sorrow. And that worldly sorrow is something that when you get caught doing something, it's just that, you got caught. And the only reason if you had any remorse is because you got caught. If you never would have got caught, that remorse would not be there. You would continue in it. It's like a cheating husband that gets caught by his wife. And the only reason why he says he's sorry is because she caught him. That's a worldly sorrow. And then, but see, what a worldly sorrow does is bring you right back into that sin, because your heart is not changed. So the first chance that husband would get to cheat again, he would cheat again. And so that is a worldly sorrow. A godly sorrow is when we get saved and we actually have remorse, because it pricks our heart. As soon as we do something that we know, first and foremost, it has put Jesus on that sin, put Jesus on the cross. So, because that sin put Jesus on the cross, we are very sorrowful that we've done it. And nobody caught us. It's within our own time, behind closed doors, within our own mind that we, and a lot of times, the more that we walk in that godly sorrow, we're catching these things just by things that we think of or things that we are about to do. We catch ourselves. And this, it's the Holy Spirit convicting us to move us into that sorrow. You see, that's the difference, is that we have a heart now that's changed. And that heart, that new heart, is now sensitive to these sins that we once did that never really bothered us.
Yeah, so 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." So that's one of the things that we want to talk about today. Like Will just said, that initial brokenness and genuine sorrow over our sin is what leads us to repentance in the first place. But is there a misunderstanding in Christianity today over repentance?
That's a topic that should be huge in the church, but it's not. But I believe not. I believe that most of the church today is still in a worldly sorrow frame of mind. Yeah, they have said the prayer. They are living their life by going to church, but yet they're living a double-minded man life. They're living a life that when they leave church, they hang up their convictions at that door of the church, and they move into their life, and that life is a worldly sorrow. They're doing things they know they shouldn't, and it's only when they get caught that they might say that they're sorry. And to me, that right there, if you look at that, what is the difference between that and the actual world? Nothing. It's exactly the same. And so what we're taught in a lot of the present day doctrines that are in the church is training you that way. A lot of the church trains you that way. In fact, the church today, majority of it, trains you to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And because of hypocrisy, and that's what we're speaking about with this worldly sorrow versus godly sorrow. It's just another way of saying hypocrisy, because that's what Jesus called out when he called out the Pharisees in his day and time. And really, he was speaking to the past as well as the way Israel was reacting, that they had plenty of leaves on their fig tree, but yet behind those leaves was no fruit. And see, that's what Jesus looked at when he looked at the fig tree. He saw leaves, but no fruit, no figs behind the fruit, no figs behind the leaves. And so that's why he cursed it to die. And he knew that Israel had plenty of leaves, plenty of something that looks religious, but behind the leaves, there was no fruit. It was dead already.
Well, it says worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. So that's exactly what you're talking about in the spiritual realm, which he, analogized by giving them a physical illustration. They both result in death. So the missing factor is repentance. So let's talk about repentance for a minute. What is genuine repentance?
All right. So the scriptures that I was thinking about is Psalms 32 and Psalms 51. This is Psalms based off David's repentance, okay? And so we see a Psalm of David in 32. It says, in verse 5, it says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Salah. So whenever you see that, you see David, you got to understand the repentance of David. You see, that when David sinned against God with Bathsheba, he didn't see his sin the way he should have. And in fact, he caused another person to die, which was the husband of Bathsheba, which was Uriah. And so he didn't just commit adultery, he committed murder. But see, the first thing that we should look at...
Also, their son died.
And their son... Yeah, well, that was the consequence mm-hmm. of that. The son actually died because of their consequences.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until when the son passed, he broke down and saw his sin. But one thing that brought him to that attention also, that it looks at... he looked at himself, is the prophet Nathan. See, the prophet Nathan approached David and gave him this story about this evil king taking a pet lamb from one of the village people that are out there, are peasants, and actually taking this peasant, I would say peasant because that's the way the king looked at him, and he raises a little lamb as a pet. But what happened was, is this king took it and slaughtered it. And when Nathan explained that you're that king, when he says you're, because David said, you know, talked ill about that king and said how wrong he was. And Nathan turns it around on him and says, you're that king. That's what you did to Uriah. That's what you did whenever you sinned with Bathsheba and you had Uriah killed. He said, you need to see the damage of your sin. And so, but see, before that, it was almost a full year before David actually repented of this, of his sin. And he had to realize the damage he's done. Before that, he was living in a worldly sorrow. He knew he was caught, but it wasn't until God, until the consequences of his actions were shown forth.
And yeah, he had a mirror held up in front of his face.
That's right. He had this mirror. And that's what we all should have in our front of our face, is a mirror to who we are. That's the law, by the way. The law is a mirror to show our transgressions to who we really are. Mm-hmm. That we need to see that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. But yet, that's where grace and mercy comes in. See, I'm already giving you the gospel again in this, because it's all entwined in Scripture. And so you see, the worldly sorrow and true sorrow, repentance, is seeing that you are a sinner. You have messed up. Even and when we are saved, when we mess up, we should never ever blame that sin on someone else. Blame shift, because that's the old man. The old man was a blame shifter. Just as Saul, King Saul, you know, did not want to take, you know, whenever he was in his position, he didn't have a godly sorrow like David did finally. He only had a worldly sorrow, where the prophet Samuel, you know, had to confront Saul with this. And because when he confronted him, because, you know, he insisted that he had obeyed the Lord with killing the king and keeping the choice flocks of that kingdom, that it was the Amalekites that actually is the kingdom that he did this to. But see, the difference between Saul and David is that Saul never owned what he did. He thought he was doing right in the eyes of God.
And a true brokenness will always accompany a accountability, a responsibility in us for the sin that we have committed that put Jesus on the cross, right? First and foremost, we understand that we have done wrong in the eyes of our Savior, and that our sin personally nailed him to that cross. Then, as an overflow of that, we also will start to feel sorrow for all of the people in our life that we've wronged.
Yes.
Right? So a genuine repentance is a turning from sin.
And it's selfless. It's a selfless act, because when we see who we harmed, the first thing we want to do is go and make it right.
That's
with the people. Except godly sorrow will do everything they can that has a worldly sorrow. Anybody that has a worldly sorrow will keep it to themselves. They will try to blame shift, and they will always see themselves as right and not someone that's in the wrong.
Well, that's not a humble spirit, and that's not a pride. That's a pride-filled spirit, and it's not a broken spirit, which is what is precious in the sight of God, right, is a broken and contrite heart. So that's the first step of having true saving faith in Christ is repentance. And let me ask you this, is repentance a one-time thing?
No, it is not a one-time act. I know many, many people out there that are in certain denominations believe that you just repent one time and then you move on with your life. That's not the case. We don't see that through Scripture. We don't see it in the Old Testament, and we definitely don't see it in the New Testament. It's an ongoing. That's, in fact, when you go listen to some of our podcasts about sanctification, that is actually, you're going to see that in sanctification. Sanctification is maintaining a relationship with the Lord through repentance and confession.
Yes.
And so it should be an ongoing, repentance is an ongoing part of our Christian walk.
So we understand that at the moment of salvation, that repentance and turning our lives and ourselves over to the Lord, to His care and control, and putting our trust and faith and hope in Him, that is when we are saved. But there will be an ongoing process, as you just said, and that will be our sanctification, because we are always growing to look more like Christ. And we are not perfect. We never will be perfect until we see Him and meet Him face to face. But there is a process and a need for us to continue to confess sin, because we're going to continue to mess up. And even though the grace covers us, we do not abuse that grace. The grace allows us to grow in righteousness and more to look like Christ, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, another question about repentance. Having said what we just said, that repentance is ongoing, can we just, say that we repent every day and continue to live in our sin and do the exact same thing every day? Is that genuine repentance?
No. That is something also that we see in the church so much, or even people that say they have a relationship with God that don't really go anywhere or have any kind of fellowship or anything like that. They just say, yeah, I believe in God. And
I say, I'm sorry for my sins every day.
Yes. And that right there is you're really what you're doing. This is what that actually says. Jesus, you're walking up to Him and you're spitting in His face. And then you're saying, I'm sorry. The next day you see Him, you spit in His face. And then you say, I'm sorry. The next day you see Him, you spit in His face and you say, I'm sorry. So what is that? That is a pattern that is
worldly sorrow.
It's a worldly sorrow. You're really not sorry. Just as if a man marries his wife on the night of their honeymoon, he leaves their bedroom and cheats on a woman. Cheats with his wife with a woman, and she catches him. He comes back and says, I'm sorry. And then from that day forward, he's out cheating every night, but yet comes home to his wife and says, I'm sorry. Did he really love his wife when he said, I do? No, he just said, I do. He just said a vow that he really didn't mean. And I see that a lot in Christianity.
Yeah. And even, as you said, in the culture, because so much of cultural Christianity has rubbed off on the culture. Now, that's a difference between the purpose of the church is to shine the light of Christ out in this dark world and make a difference, be a beacon of hope, be a place of refuge. And we know the church is us, the believers. Right. So wherever we go, that is our calling out in this world. That is our mission field, is we are to be the salt and the light, pointing people to the way, which is Jesus, right? The narrow way. But the church has failed for many, many, I would say decades now, in doing that, in being set apart, being different from the culture. The culture is not supposed to dictate the church. It should be the other way around. We should have such an impact as the body of Christ that we should be leading the way. But look around, look at our country, look at our world. And we've done many podcasts about this as well. In fact, we've just did some guest hosted podcasts with some different podcasts that are friends of ours now, and we have talked about these very subjects. And in fact, we've got another one coming up tomorrow, and we'll share those links with y'all once they have been published so that y'all can listen to them. But that's what we're talking about. It seems like the majority or a lot of people that we are talking to that have podcasts and different ministries are what really have woken up to the fact of the state of the church. And we're just talking about it. We're having these conversations. And so it's really important for us because that is a big part of our heart and our story is the modern day organized religious system has royally failed, has royally dropped the ball.
Yes.
Has caused, honestly, more harm than good in a lot of ways. And this has been a journey for us for 15 years. We have been, you know, trying to navigate because as we've told y'all on our testimony episode, we were not raised in church and, you know, getting saved in a church and then trying to find our way, trying to find other people who truly were sold out for Christ and loved the Lord and, you know, were really just all in for Jesus was no easy task. And it wasn't until we left the church system that we found Jesus. So I know that sounds controversial. I know it sounds crazy, but the Holy Spirit within us prompted us to come out of that system. So we haven't talked about that a whole lot because we've been leery to really open up on it. But there's been a lot of damage done and we're starting to see it like in mass. So we do think it's important to start talking about those things more. And like I said, tomorrow we'll be doing a podcast where that's what the hosts want to talk about is the state of the modern day church. And the exciting thing, y'all, don't be discouraged by that. If you're going through that or if you have come out of, you know, per se church or you've been hurt by churches, but yet you know that you love the Lord and you're truly seeking Him and reading His Word and staying in prayer and doing what you can to find fellowship, you're on the right track. Don't negate that. You know, we'll be talking more about it, but it's just that's a very near and dear topic to our heart. So be encouraged. But yes, sanctification is a very important part of your walk. Repentance is a very important part of your walk, and it has to be genuine. It has to be, you know, the kind of sorrow that leads to a changed lifestyle.
And when Angela was talking about, you know, how the church has messed up throughout the decades, well, one thing the church did get right was the social gospel. The social gospel was that, you know, a lot of the buildings feed people and give them clothes and, you know, that kind of thing. They've done good with that. But where they've messed up at is actual the gospel.
Yeah, it stopped at the social.
It stopped at giving them clothes and food because there's places that do that and they have actually helped a lot of people with physical needs. But spiritual needs, they have failed. That's where the church is supposed to be the most. We're supposed to be both, right? We're supposed to help people, but we're supposed, you know, physically, but we're most importantly, we need to help them eternally so that they can have eternal security in their life with Christ, knowing that they can, that they will have a relationship with the Lord. And so to me, that is where the church has failed. They are too worried about pleasing people with their needs, their immediate needs, instead of the needs that they really need to look on that's going to be eternal. That's going to be everlasting, is that need to be in right fellowship with God. Sure, there could be a gospel presentation, but is it modeled? And that's what we're trying to do. We want to model salvation. We want to model loving our neighbor by helping, by giving, but we also want to be giving the truth out as well. And that right there is an active faith. And I mean, to be honest, when was the last time if you have a pastor, when was the last time that pastor has been out in the field, meaning outside the four walls, serving with you, being out there, giving the gospel, showing you how to give the word to others, to evangelize,
discipling you,
doing that, because that's discipleship, is to show you, is to show you so you go and show others.
Yes.
It's a multiplication. It's you multiply that way. And the only way to do that is not tell somebody, hey, I have a church that I want you to come to. Tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
And then if you have a great fellowship, invite them to the fellowship after you tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's up to each and every one of us to be the herald, to herald the gospel,
yes,
to go out and tell the truth. So that is where that's where we're picking up today. And I know we're just two people, but you know what? We have others that are saying amen to this,
mm-hmm,
because they're seeing the lack of that in the buildings that are out there right now. Because let me tell you, the closer we get to these end of days, whenever we start seeing the 7-year tribulation, and yes, I said that, and when we're living in this tribulation, you're not going to see church buildings thrive. Only ones that are going to thrive are the ones that are going to proclaim what the government or the beast system tells them to.
Yeah.
What we're going to see in the end days are going to be a remnant that are going to look like the early church in the book of Acts.
Ooh, and it's exciting because we're going to be working in,
yes,
mighty power and miracles and signs and wonders, and we are going to set the world on fire just like the early church did.
And we're not going to care. Stephen was an example. He was a type and shadow of the end of what. See, we've been in the end days since Jesus ascended. Note that for 2,000 years. But yet Stephen was the first to be martyred, and he was an example of what it is to have true faith. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have death because of our faith. We're going to have all these things. But you know what we're going to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant.
That's right.
That's going to be the greatest thing we're going to hear.
Yep. And the servant is not above his master. And look at what our leader, our master, suffered for us. So it is time that we are prepared, and that is so much our heart, is that we want to see the saints, the children of God, ready and girded up and prepared for the days that are ahead. And you know, again, not picking on the church, but just saying they are doing a very poor job of preparing the saints. And you know, the majority of people that are sitting in church, well, I won't say the majority, a lot of people that are sitting in church buildings are still on the milk. And it's because the pastors are still preaching the fundamentals of the faith, because the church has become about the lost rather than being about the saints of God.
And I went real quick, and there are churches, there are people out there that are preaching through the whole Bible. But even the churches that preach through the whole Bible, if you have a pastor that starts in Genesis and is trying to move through Revelation, right, preaching word for word, chapter by chapter, even those that preach that, sadly, most of the congregation doesn't do anything with that. They hear it, but yet they keep it to themselves, and they're not out making disciples, because that's the most important thing. You can have someone preach the truth to you all day long, but what are you doing with that truth?
Right, right. There's no expectation. So that's just, again, that's our heart. That is part of our mission, is that we just want to wake the body of Christ up and do everything that we can to try to prepare all of us and encourage all of us to stand firm to the end. I know that our messages may be unpopular. I know that they may be hard, but you know what? So were all of the prophets in the Bible. So was Jesus. So were the disciples. All of their messages were difficult to hear to people who were set in their ways and did not want to come out of their sin or of their religion. All these things. So y'all just take heed. And we, talking on the fact of sanctification, part of that is forgiveness. And upcoming very soon, we are going to be doing a podcast episode where we have one of our sisters in Christ on, and she's going to talk about this fact of forgiveness. So I hope that y'all will stay tuned. We also wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners. We found out today that on a website, I forgot the name of it now, FeedSpot, we are number 21 out of 154 Christian podcasts. So that's awesome. We're so excited. Y'all please keep listening, tune in, share our podcast, and until next time, y'all
go share Jesus with someone.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.